So Luke 18, 9 to 14. That's what we're going to look at. Very famous passage. And if you do want to take notes, there is notes up there, paper up there to take notes. This is Jesus speaking. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I get." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Let's pray so Jesus can open up our ears to hear what he's got to say. Father, we thank you for these words, and Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are a Saviour. And Lord, help us to hear what you have to say to us this morning. Holy Spirit, open our ears and open our hearts to receive it and to grow in what you have to teach us. We pray this through you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, I'm very thankful. I'm very thankful I'm not like those other Christians out there in the world that simply aren't as mature as me. Very thankful. I'm thankful that I don't live the sinful life unlike some. I thank you, Lord, that my worship and what I do is so authentic in the Holy Spirit, not like others. I thank you, Lord, that what I believe is sound doctrine, unlike some. And I thank you, Lord, I would never even think or pray like this Pharisee. And I thank you, Lord, that my life is as humble as this tax collector. I think Jesus hits the spot when we stop and hear what he has to say to us. Jesus is speaking to us today in this parable. Today we're going to hear what Jesus thinks about those who trust in themselves. Jesus is speaking to the kind of person that has built a platform of greatness around themselves. Let's hear Jesus speak to our hearts so that our lives will not be exalted by how good we think we are. Let's hear him speak this morning. Rather, we want to be humbled by who we really are before God. I'm sure Jesus' audience wouldn't have had any doctrinal issues or biblical issues with how Jesus portrays the Pharisee's prayer. They would have thought the Pharisee was quite fair enough to about to say what he said. In Deuteronomy 26, 12 to 15, it mentions it's okay to tell God what you've done. Verse 12 in Deuteronomy 26. When you have finished paying all the tithe of your produce in the third year, which is the year of tithing, giving it to the Levite, the sojourner, the fatherless and the widow, so that they may eat within your towns and be filled, then you shall say before the Lord, "I have removed the sacred portion out of my house, and moreover, I have given it to the Levite, the sojourner, the fatherless and the widow, according to all your commandment. That you have commanded me. I have not transgressed any of your commandments, nor have I forgotten them. I have not eaten of the tithe while I was mourning, or removed any of it while I was unclean, or offered any of it to the dead. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord my God. I have done accordingly to all that you have commanded. Look down from your holy habitation from heaven and bless your people Israel and the ground that you have given us, as you sworn to our fathers, a land that's flowing with milk and honey." So there was nothing wrong with telling God that you've been faithful in obedience. But Jesus' story gives us or goes further than simply stating obedience. This is a story of self-praise and exalting ourselves over others in order to make ourselves feel great. Exalting ourselves by pointing out others' failures. Jesus is speaking to the hearts of those who trust in themselves and who, what is it, have treat others with contempt. Imagine your life. I want you to imagine your life within your mindset that there's a platform, there's a tower, whatever you want to think about, and within that there are steps going up to the tower. Each of those steps leads up your platform. Each of those steps has a statement and a rule written on it. It's either something that you do or something that you don't do. And you pass each step, ticking your own little box. You pass each step travelling up the top of your platform. And when you get to the top of your little platform, with all the little steps that you've created yourself, you say, "Behold, look at me. I have arrived." And you look around at other people, at everyone else, and you judge them against your list. You judge them against your steps, against your do's and your don'ts. And I would think that each of us at times thinks like this. Everyone has a platform that has unique steps and values that makes up each step. It's the platform where we give ourselves the thumbs up, where we approve of ourselves and make judgments on others. And as we're there, we look down and around at others. Our life and culture is like that. I'm like that. We want to boast about something, don't we? There's got to be something we can boast in. It's either boasting in the things we do or the things we don't do. Either I'm like this or I'm not like that. And for those in Christ, it could be things of how we live, how many good works we have, our moral lifestyle. It could be of the certain biblical truths and doctrines that we hold to. It could be how we worship God in things like prayer and singing, or how we gather and do church. It could be all those things. It could be the activities we pursue, like social justice or serving the community. And so we boast in what we do or the things we don't do. Some may be that it's simply we're not about the social issues, we're about sound teaching and doctrine. And the other side, it could be, well, we're not simply about teaching, we're about community action. And so we build a platform. We build a platform. And maybe if we don't follow Jesus, we just build a platform as if, well, I don't steal. Well, I don't murder. I pay my taxes. My kids are good at school. They don't take drugs, unlike those other kids, unlike those other parents. We're all searching for something to boast in. If not ourselves, it's in our children. If not our children, it's our own success, our career, our knowledge, whatever it is. Something to boast in. We need to find something to boast in, and Jesus knows this. We can even boast in how humble we are. Each of us has within us a self-righteous little grid that it's at work. And we're ticking and crossing these little grid in our mind. And we're also doing it on others. We use our list against others. We have our little self-righteous grid. And we go tick, tick, tick. And we see someone else, we go cross, cross, cross. That's what we do. And you know what? We have no idea where all these things come from. Sometimes we often think that they're from God, but sometimes when we go to look in the Bible, we don't even find them. They're clearly absent or easily challenged. And yet we hold on these things with all strength and might, all these things, so we can build our platform and exalt ourselves. And we become angered and convicted when challenged by God's word and by Jesus. That's what happened with the Pharisees. They were continually challenged off their platforms. Because it's telling us and telling them that we're not as good as we think we are. It hits our pride. It smashes our platform that we've spent a lifetime building, that we've invested in. Is the Holy Spirit convicting you right now? Is God's word convicting you right now? Jesus is revealing that our life is more like the Pharisee than the tax collector. And if we're honest, we often boast in how we are not like other people. We'll often boast in things like we don't take drugs, or we're not like that backslidden Christian. And it's so very easy to compare how good we are as we compare ourselves to others. But for some reason, we always pick the others as those who aren't as good as us. And I'm sure many think that Christianity is about being better than others, but Jesus has something to say to that. I remember many years ago when I was reading this passage, I sat there and I read it, and I was studying it, and I thought to myself, I'm so glad I'm not that Pharisee. And it hit me at that point. It hit me at that point. The light bulb switched on. I've just become him. You know, how dare he? And yet it's me. The parable hits our hearts with our everyday lives because it includes us. It includes us. You're either the self-proclaimed good-living Pharisee or you're the beating chest confessing tax collector. You're either boasting before God how good you are or humbly seeking mercy and grace from a mighty God, realizing that you fall short. Jesus gets to the heart of who we are. He gets to the heart of the wrong boasting, and he's speaking directly to our sinful kind of self-appointed or opinionated boasting. And according to Jesus, only one man goes home justified. So we've got to hear what Jesus got to say. So we have these two groups of people, the Pharisee and the tax collector, or what they'd call a sinner. And they would have had an audience, probably of fishermen and tradies and all that sort of stuff. But our first group, you know, the Pharisees, they were the teachers and upholders of God's law. They held to this strict religious code on how to live. And they were the good works, devout, reverent men of God. The most pious, religious men of Israel at the time. But Jesus spoke this parable because it was for them. He told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and they treated others with contempt. So imagine the life of the Pharisee. It's pretty hard to sort of visualize from the scripture, but let's just say that you have the great prayer life in your life today, and you get up at 7 o'clock in the morning and spend 15 minutes praying. This kind of guy, this Pharisee, he would have been up at 6 to 8 praying, then 11 to 1 and 7 to 9. He prayed a lot. He makes our prayer life look pathetic. Maybe some of you are well trained and you read the Bible in a year. He probably thinks you're a spiritual wimp. He probably reads the whole Old Testament in a month. And he's got it memorized. This guy is a devout study of the word. And he gave his covenant tithes. That was around 23%. Plus he tithed on any gifts, which is what he says in the passage. He tithes on everything, which was above and beyond the law. So we think we're good and faithful each week when we give. This guy gives probably 25%. And that's with the Roman taxes taken out. Probably before even the Roman taxes taken out. Your spiritual life doesn't even scratch the surface. And we've got to see this guy. We've got to see this guy for who he is and who he is culturally. I remember sitting in a church once, and the offering went by. As you can see, we don't take up an offering. We've got a flower pot over there. But the offering went by, as in normal churches. Not trying to make a comparison here, Pharisee, okay? So just hold on. Okay, it's all fine. There's no scripture on this. But the offering went by, and there were these ladies there, And after the church thing went by, they went over and said, we direct deposit our tithes. You know? In other words, I didn't want you to think that we didn't give. You know? Isn't it interesting how we do that? We've got to prove ourselves. There's something about us. And I'm sure the Pharisees there to go, well, I just put in 25%, ladies and gentlemen. So what's that, what you're doing? So you might think that your spiritual walk is impressive, but it doesn't come close to this guy. He fasted twice a week. In the Old Testament law, he only had to fast once a year. So this guy was a spiritual, super religious guy, and everything about him looked impressive. And I wonder if that's your life. Everything about you, you're trying to make look impressive. Doing a lot of things. Having the religious life. But underneath it all, you're more interested in the worship of self than God. You're putting on a good show around others, trying to boost yourself up. Trying to convince people that you are someone who's great. And then we have this other guy, the tax collector. He belonged in the bad group. He belonged in the what they called the sinners, they labelled them, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, social outcasts. But they were the ones that were hanging around hearing Jesus' words. And Jesus was stereotyped, was saying, why do you eat with these tax collectors and sinners? So they were really considered bad people, particularly by the Pharisees. They were labelled culturally as sinners, prostitutes, etc. And they believed that they were probably outside of God's forgiveness. Because the Pharisees were so super spiritual and they rejected these other people. But also that pressure of being looked down on by the Pharisee. That pressure of never living up to the Pharisees' expectations, of all having these extra hidden laws and rules that no one ever knows about. There's not even in here. And so they felt like this outcast. But Jesus is writing to them because they're the ones that are contempt towards these others. So Jesus wants to lift up the others by having something to say to the Pharisee. The Pharisees believed they set the standards. They believed they were well within God's blessings and righteous standard. Their lives looked impressive. Why not? But you know, even in that, they still believe they're a sinner. They would have done all their rituals. They would have done all their sacrifices. They believed in their hearts they were sinners. They believed that they fell short in some ways. And they offered up part of the covenant, their offerings. But they made a class distinction. They were not a sinner like those other sinners. I'm not like him over there. I may sin, but I don't sin like him. Pharisee built his own platform that was about pride, not humility. And he ticked every step of his platform as he rised up to the top. And he looked around from his platform and he looked at all who failed to tick the boxes and he said, shame on you. And isn't that what we do? Whether we follow Jesus or we don't, we build a platform of do's and don'ts and then we judge others by it. Yeah, we say we're sinners saved by grace, but I'm not like those other sinners. You can hear this when you talk about others and their shortcomings. There are times we can have genuine concern for others, but there are many times we're just using other people's failures to endorse our platform. Because we are not like them. And in fact, Jesus says, you're actually like the Pharisee in my parable. These people, these two guys, were the complete opposites in society. One devout Pharisee, one despised tax collector. One was considered a traitor, an enemy of the people, the tax collector who took money. The other was the upright, keeping the holiness of the country alive. And Jesus says it's the other guy. It's the other guy. It's the villain in the story that actually is the hero. You know, we watch movies and often we don't want to see the villain in the movie receive blessing, do we? We want to see him receive justice. You know, you want the bad guy to get bashed up. But here Jesus switches it around. It's the bad guy that's redeemed, not the good guy, according to what they thought was good. Because it's about God's grace and mercy. And just like the Pharisee, we can easily create our own religious rule book that's based on what we think holiness is and what acceptance is, and miss what Jesus is saying. Because sadly, Jesus will say it's the other guy that was redeemed. It was the bad guy. It was the repentant criminal who was redeemed, or not the person who had all his doctrines right, not the person who was out there doing human rights or charity work. It was the bad guy. It was the repentant sinner who was accepted, not the boastful religious do-gooder. How does Jesus portray these two polar opposites? They both enter God's temple to pray. The Pharisee comes up boldly and confident, standing by himself, mostly up the front, making all the right steps, looking impressive, looking very spiritual, singing praises, I'm sure, saying great amens in a league of his own. And his prayer is a proud, self-focused prayer about himself. He highlights two aspects of his life before God: the things that he's doing right, mostly according to his rules, and the things he doesn't do that others do according to his rules. And I'm sure the Pharisee was actually disgusted with the fact that the tax collector was being allowed into the temple to pray. To him, it was considered probably disgusting and angered by that. And yet the Pharisee didn't get it. He missed the big picture. You see, at the heart of this Pharisee was the lack of love for others. It's a lack of love for others. I wonder if that's how you are today when you come to God. Maybe it's as you pray. Maybe it's as you simply talk about others. This man's prayer is looking around at others from his platform. And his prayers are just looking down at others and those around him. He says, look at those others. Look at those that call themselves Christians. Look what they do. We're all looking around. What about you? Is that how you live your life? Are you sitting on your platform of self-righteousness, judging others? Guess what? Your little lists and your little judgments mean squat. Yet the one who can judge is looking at your heart when that happens, is looking at your heart right now. And he's calling you to look at yourself, to see ourselves before a holy God. It's only when we are looking at what really matters and what God has to say, then we're being removed off our platform and seeing who we really are. It's as we look to God, we see our own hearts of all our guilt and all our shame. It's there we see life as a tax collector did, that we beat our chest and we cry for mercy for God. We see ourselves before a holy God. Tax collector, he doesn't look around. He's not looking at the Pharisee going, well, gee, Lord, I so don't meet up to his expectations. He looks at God. He says, I fall short. I fall short. He doesn't worry about others. He worries about God. He pleads for mercy. And this is the whole story of the Bible. This is what Jesus wants us to get. Jesus wants us to know that no matter how we view others in their failures and sin, we need to see ourselves before God. And we need to see God as the merciful one. And we need to come to him in repentance. And we need to see Jesus for who he is, that he is our Redeemer. One man figured out his place in God's story. The Pharisee, he thinks he's figured it out. That's the sad thing. He thinks he's got it all. And he's mistaken. And he'll have a shock. We know this is just a parable story, but if he was real, he would have had a shock. One thing I love about this parable of Jesus, that when we think about this tax collector, it makes us realize that there is no sinner or sin that is outside God's mercy and forgiveness. You see, as the audience heard this, they heard Jesus' words saying, I have a chance. I have a chance. They probably said to themselves, I'm not even as bad as this tax collector, but they had a chance that they could receive mercy from God, that they could go home justified by God, that there was hope for them. And that's the core message of Jesus, the core message of the gospel, that there is hope for us because we all fall short. We are all often more the Pharisee than the tax collector. I wonder how Jesus is challenging your platform today. What steps on your platform is Jesus smashing with his sledgehammer? Maybe it's all the wonderful works and activities you do for others. Maybe you do all these things out of care and concern for others. And that's a good thing. But they have become a platform that brings you self-worth and value, and you are esteemed and you're sitting there judging others against it. You trust in yourself and how great you are, and you judge others by what you do. Maybe it's all the biblical teachings and the doctrines you believe. As far as you are concerned, your understanding in the Bible is spot on, and you judge others against what you believe is correct doctrine. And you use the good things of God, good things, but you create them into a platform to boast in. And you know what? Guess what? The devil believes everything you believe. He believes all the doctrines. Interesting thing is, as Christians, we know and believe our good works don't save us. They don't make us justified. But often, we believe our good doctrines do. We believe our good doctrines save us. We think we are justified by a set of doctrines and rules, and we are not. Our good doctrines don't make us justified. They are good and useful, but they are just like works. They will not save us. Romans 11:6, but it is by grace. It is no longer on the basis of works, otherwise grace would no longer be grace. Jesus has challenged us today. Stop acting like a Pharisee. I'm just as guilty as you are. And come to Jesus and plead mercy, that we are sinners. When was the last time you humbled yourself before God? When was the last time you allowed Jesus' word to shape your heart? Allowed Jesus to strip away all that self-boasting, all that loveless boasting that you do, and bring you to the cross and plead mercy. Allow Jesus to smash all that self-righteousness that we build into ourselves. We don't even know where it comes from. And rather than look around at others, look at Christ. And humbly come to him, pleading mercy. Let's pray. Let's spend a moment in prayer before our God. Spend a quiet moment. Just spend a quiet moment in prayer. Then I'll pray at the end. Father, as we come to you, we don't want to be looking around at others. As we learnt last week, Lord, you are so patient with those who follow you. And often we are not patient with others, and often we use that as a form of judgment. Lord, help us to know that we fall short. We know in our hearts that we may be able to point out other people's sin, but Lord, you could point out many, many, many sins in us. And yet by your grace, you graciously unravel them to us. You don't pour them all out all at once, but by grace you give us the strength and give us the spirit to deal with them one by one in our lives. And Lord, that same grace that you give to us, let us express that to others. Lord, let us not look around and be like the Pharisee who sits there and judges others by his from his platform. But Lord, let us look up and see you. Lord, we thank you for amazing grace, amazing mercy. Lord, if it was up to us, we would always fall short. We thank you for the amazing grace you have, that we can sing songs like "It Is Well," that we can sing songs like "You Are Our God, Holy Are You," that we can sing songs that you, your grace will find us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So I think we'll just have a cup of coffee. Don't worry about the last songs. Everyone looks like they're tired. I don't know if they can sing a song. You can sing a song? We got to sing a song? Okay. Good. Rightio.
Put a new song in my heart. Let me hear the praises start. Dispel the night and give me light again.